Hello and welcome to Inside Education, the program and podcast for teachers, policymakers, and anyone with an interest in teaching and learning. I'm Sean Delaney and you can download podcasts of over 300 previous editions of Inside Education at seandelaney.com. The Literacy Association of Ireland held its 41st annual conference last month. This week I bring you some voices from the conference. I spoke to Damien Quinn from seomraranga.com, to Annie Burke from Memorial University of Newfoundland in Canada, and to Claire Dunn from the Merino Institute of Education. All three of them presented workshops at the conference. First, I bring you my interview with Claire Dunn, who is a lecturer in the Merino Institute of Education in Dublin. She was the Gaeilge editor of the journal Inish from 2011 until 2014, and she spent a year teaching Irish in Notre Dame University as part of the Fulbright programme. Claire presented a workshop at the conference on promoting leisure reading in Irish. When I spoke to Claire, I asked her to tell me what her workshop at the conference was about.
I was talking about a reading club which I had done with a local Gaeilge school here to get them really interested in reading through Irish for pleasure.
And how did the book club come about in the first place?
Well, for the last couple of years, I've been working with Children's Books Ireland and I've been working as an Irish language editor with them. And I've come across just so many great books that have been written in Irish. And I wondered, how can we get children excited about reading these books? And reading through an additional language is a little bit challenging because people tend to be about 30 to 50% slower in reading in the language, and often they're just not aware of the kind of books that have come out. Any research up and down the years would have shown that there's a reliance on the textbook in the classroom and that there are very few books outside of the class reader in Irish on the shelves for children. So I wonder...
Even in Gaelscoileanna?
Even in Gaelscoileanna, people aren't really aware of them. Outside of the class reader or the support text that come with a particular programme like Shead on She. So I wondered, how can we get these books into the classroom and how can we get children excited about reading them? So I looked at other minority language contexts like in Fiji and other places like that, and to see what do they do to get children reading in this language. And they do a couple of things. One is a book flood, where they literally flood the children with books. They bring in a great number of easy to read texts and the children get to read them really quickly over a couple of days. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to try book flooding people through Irish. So I had a massive suitcase from one of my travels and I decorated it with characters from books and various things like that. And I filled it to the brim with every children's book I had. And just like the Timaraith Taisteal that we would have had for the teaching of Irish, I went around to the school with this big bag. I unzipped it very slowly on the first day to get them very interested in it. And then for 1 week, they were allowed to take a book, as many as they wanted, and read for as long or as short as they wanted anywhere in the classroom, so that they could get used to the kinds of books that are there in Irish. They could physically handle them. And I think it worked very well, because when I returned a week later, I saw in the pockets some books had been hidden by kids so that their other friends wouldn't get the comic they so desperately wanted to read or the book that they were really engrossed in. And that was really the beginning of the reading club.
And how structured was the club, or how formal was it? Did it remain where they were just picking books out of the suitcase, or did it get more structured?
No, I decided to use the book flood as the first step. And then after that, I built on a model called extensive reading, which has been used for other languages, additional or foreign or modern languages, depending on what they're called in that context. So once they were aware of the kind of books that were out there, I set up this reading club. So in the first week when I came back and saw those books hidden, I handed out a questionnaire to the students and I asked them to give me some information about the books they liked. And that's been done by other authors for English reading and things like that. But I decided I'd also ask them what books did they not like. And I did that so that I could measure kind of the intensity of how much they liked or didn't like something. And I could also find out then whether they were ambivalent. So, for example, Uirscéalta Graphica, graphic novels, some people were really a bit on the fence about that. They didn't know how they felt about it. And that was probably because they hadn't handled books like that before. So when I got back their questionnaires, I could see, oh, they really like funny books. I'm going to put comics into the collection for next week. But I decided that they had come with some preconceived notions and I wanted to challenge some of them. So they had said they don't like picture books. They're babyish for kids. And I thought, well, what if we just got very sophisticated illustrations in books and we were able to talk about them as artists or as writers, would they be interested in it then? So it was a mixture of listening to things they'd said, putting in stuff I wanted to challenge them about, and then also some certain things that I'm interested in. I put in a lot of books with strong female characters, particularly on Cailleach, which is a figure we have in Irish literature. It was essentially the first psychotherapy that we had in Ireland. It was kind of narrative psychology, this wise woman going around telling stories. But nowadays, when you see on Cailleach, it's usually the Disney witch that's portrayed. So I wanted to go back to more original, traditional viewing and stronger portrayal of this female character. So I came in for the next 8 weeks, took one genre each week. We read it as a class, and I read too. I modelled the reading. And again, they were allowed to sit anywhere they wanted in the class, up on chairs, sitting down on the ground. Someone, I found one.
So you had multiple copies of one text, was it?
I did, depending on the type of text it was. Some of them suited better to paired reading, so I would have one between two. Others were better for individual reading.
What ones were better for paired reading?
Dramas, short dramas, so where they could actually look at the stage direction, for example, first, look at the kind of voice they should be using when they're reading it, and then they were kind of acting it out. A lot of them are a two-man act anyway, the kinds of dramas that were there, so they could do that. Other things, non-fiction, it helped because they could talk about the differences or similarities they were seeing between, for example, if it was a text set in one country, that in Ireland. And then other ones, like in a series, I might still have just bought one or two copies of each one, but I rotated them around the group, so the first group were all reading the first book in that series and then move them around. But for other ones, it was just suited better for them to read individually, and for those ones, I had a copy for everybody.
Now, I mean, a teacher might wonder, are they better off investing in, you know, 30 different books or 30 books of one of one text? What would your advice be based on what you did?
For the purposes of a class discussion, sometimes it was great that they'd all read the one book. That really was of benefit when we were doing things like the graphic novels or the comics, that they all had read it together. They got immersed in the text and we could discuss it as a class. But that doesn't mean necessarily they would all have to read at the same time. If you wanted to do it on a more modest budget, of course you could have them in reading groups but at different times of the day. But I have to say, and this project was very generously funded by COG and Corlum, it was still run on quite a modest budget. So really, even if you had maybe €2,000 to invest in something this for a school, you would be able to operate this and continue operating it.
This was done in a Gaelscoil. How well do you think it would work in a regular school?
I mentioned earlier that I built on the principles of extensive reading, and a couple of the things that that model shows us is that children should have choice when they're choosing a book, that the material should be easy. And that, for me, didn't really work well for the Irish language context, because words, even for native speakers, might have been quite difficult. So I had to choose texts that had extra supports, like glossaries or a bookmark with the keywords or a certain font that you could skim read a page and see essentially what was happening, because certain things were in bold or pictures. So those kind of supports that are there help children in Gaelscoil, but they're also helpful for children in an English medium school. And things like paired reading, or that they could use their dictionary if they needed to, those are things that could be used in an English medium school too. And it was really just about making the experience of reading throughout really special and fun. And I mentioned that it's a reading club as opposed to a book club, because there were a variety of texts used. One of the weeks that they particularly enjoyed was when we were looking at lyrics, musical lyrics from Kila and also from Kiol na Mara, which is a CD by Thaid Mac an Leagán, and they had to put the lyrics in the right order from listening and then reading the lyrics and putting them in the right order. So all of those kinds of things could easily be done in English medium schools as well.
What age group was this with?
There was third class and fifth class involved in this. And mostly they read the same books, but certain times one book just suited an age group better than the other.
And if you were to pick one or two books that were really popular with the fifth and the third class children, what books would they be?
They all expressed to me that they wanted to see a cooking book in Irish, which was funny because it wasn't even in the bag. That was just something they were thinking of themselves. And they seemed to really like the graphic novels, the fifth class in particular, because there's a lot of gory details and a lot of blood and violence and things like that they actually enjoyed reading through. But the change that I, or the evolution of attitudes to reading and reading choices that I was looking for, was just really that by the end of it that they could stand over their decision, because they had kind of some flippant views at the beginning, I don't like that, but they didn't really tell you why. Whereas by the end of it, when I handed out the same questionnaire again, I was able to see what had changed, and they would say, I like this because, and that's fair enough then if they don't like something. I wasn't looking to necessarily change the views and everything. But some that did stand out were the picture books, that they changed their mind. There was a significant change that people decided, yes, we really do like these. And that's important for a language like Irish, where they need visual cues to make out what's on the page.
And finally, Claire, where can people get all these Irish books for children?
The Inish Reading Guide, or the Raoul Leabhar that comes out each year, also by Children's Books Ireland, the Reading Guide, they were very good sources for me to see what are the most contemporary texts out. They have a website as well, and you can key in a search category if you want to look for a certain type of book. And then after that, I bought most of them online, either directly from the publishers or from An Siopa Leabhar or other bookshops like that.
And Claire Dunn was talking about a reading club she set up in a local Gaelscoil. One of the most popular websites for Irish teachers is seomraranga.com. And it was set up in September 2007 by my next guest. Damien Quinn is a graduate of Carysfort College and of University College Dublin. He taught in Dublin for several years before moving to Sligo. When I spoke to Damien, I asked him to tell me about the workshop he presented at the Literacy Association of Ireland annual conference.
The title of my presentation was to try and get teachers to think about bringing technology into literature. I suppose the common perception is that, you know, they're miles apart, that we're wanting to get children to leave down the mobile devices and get reading their books. But because I'm interested in both as a teacher, I wanted to see how the two could marry together. So I was posing the question, could that be done?
So what have you done in your own classroom?
We came up with an online vehicle to channel all of our technology efforts in relation to the class novel. So we decided on using the KidBlog platform, which is quite a basic blogging platform. The children use that to do quite a lot of their homework, and particularly homework associated with the class novel. I also showed them some associated technologies that they could create some stuff based on our work on the class novel and put them up on their own blogs as a response to our work on the novel.
So are these reviews of the novels, or is it more their reflections as they're reading through it?
Absolutely, reflections and work as we're going all the way through the novel. So stopping at different points and doing things like, okay, let's do a character analysis of a certain character at this point in the novel, or look at something like, okay, we're halfway through the novel, what have we learned about, for example, World War II at this point in the novel? Let's do a word cloud based on all of the facts that we have learned. So stopping as we're going along, but also doing some work at the very end of the novel as well on what they had learned, doing book reviews, but slightly different ones than they would have done in their copies. So to try and make it a little bit more interactive, they would have written like a normal book review, but they would also have created some images to go along with it, and indeed video content as well.
And who has access to the content of their blog entries?
Well, I suppose the reason why I chose KidBlog was because that can actually be a closed blog. It can be open to the wider public, but I decided not to, just to keep it between myself, the pupils, and their parents. So there was a certain security in that, and possibly that was the way that sold it to the parents as well. You know, not everybody in the whole wide world is reading their children's work, so there was a certain, very much a security in that.
But all their classmates can read their work, is that right?
Yes, they can. I informed parents at the beginning what the whole idea was, how we were going to work on this stuff in this particular year. I also told them, you know, there were no chances for the children in this. If there was one rude comment or bullying or anything like that, that their account would be deleted and they would have to revert to doing their work normally in their copy. And actually, that the children stepped up to the mark and really respected that. But I think the parents actually appreciated that as well, knowing that there was only themselves. But being able to read each other's blogs, that actually created a new dynamic. I spoke earlier in the presentation about the whole idea is mentioned in the curriculum goals about creating an audience for children's work. And, you know, I said to them, you know, when children do work in a copy, normally the only person that's going to see it is themselves and their teacher. Their parents may not even see it. So this idea of extending the audience to your work, to your classmates, and allowing your classmates actually to comment on your work, it was eye-opening in lots of ways. You know, we also did a lot of work about how to comment and not making nasty comments and being positive and making constructive criticisms, all that sort of thing. And actually it worked well. And I feel myself looking back on it, it created a great sense of community among that particular class.
But the other side of opening up your work to a wider audience is that it needs to have a higher standard, like that maybe you don't particularly want to have misspellings, or you don't want to have, you know, poor grammar being broadcast to everyone. Is there a vetting procedure that you have in place before it's published, or how do children make sure that it is reaching, I suppose, a suitable standard?
The other idea that we put in place was that nothing went live on the blog until it was moderated by me. That was a sort of a safety net, and I think parents liked that bit of it as well, that I was, I suppose, the gatekeeper. So I was able to review the work, and if I was happy enough that it went up, then I would publish it. If I thought it was a poor standard, or if I thought that maybe it might have opened up the child to ridicule, I was able to privately message them back and say, listen, why don't you reorganise something on that post before we put it up? You know, that's a whole learning experience as well. And I suppose by doing all that, this sort of work, you know, children were learning digital literacy, you know, how you behave online and how you comment, how you treat your classmates online. You know, it was a huge learning curve for them.
Could you maybe take us through a typical lesson that you would teach using the novel, say, in terms of what happens in the classroom and then how it's followed up on the blog?
Yeah, so I suppose the first thing we would do, obviously, is focus on the novel itself and the text. So we do some reading, do a lot of discussion, maybe some group work on teasing out different issues. And then we come up with some sort of an exercise based on what we have done. So it might be something on vocabulary development in the chapter, or development of a character in that chapter, or coming up with questions that a character might have in their mind at this particular point in the novel, and then setting that as homework to be done online.
Would any children ever say, I'd actually prefer to do it in my copy?
No, actually, at the very end of the year, I did a review, and I asked the children to write honest comments about what they felt about working this way as distinct from doing everything in a blog. And actually, during my presentation, I showed some of the reaction of some of the children, and it was really interesting. And what I explained to the members of the audience here was, I felt that actually the blog equalised everybody, even though I had a huge range of abilities in the class, from people who were very, very bright to children who were academically very, very poor. Actually, one of the children said, you know, my handwriting doesn't matter anymore because it all looks the same on the blog. Whereas, you know, if it's in my copy, my handwriting is really messy. No one wants to read my work. So it had that sort of an equalizing feature. And I felt it served purposes at both ends of the spectrum. You know, it allowed those who were bright to actually go and channel their enthusiasm and go away and write off big tomes. And yet at the same time, the children who were weaker academically were quite happy with what they were able to come up with as well.
Do you use one novel over the course of a year, or would you use more than one?
In our school, we do all our English work through novels, so we don't have any readers at all. So every class would do between 4 and 6 novels per year, spending maybe about between 6 and 8 weeks on a novel.
And what ones have you used that you found worked well?
I suppose the ones I was talking about today were nice Irish ones, like Marita Conan McKenna's novels, Under the Hawthorn Tree, Wildflower Girl, a really nice one, a war-based one called Faraway Home by Marlene Taylor, based on a true story of Austrian Jewish refugees arriving in Ireland during the war. And so I showed in my presentation a lot of the work we did on that. So they were some nice Irish novels that we did. I know some of the senior classes now are doing work on novels like Wonder by J.C. Palacio, a really challenging novel. We try and have a mixture of genres of novels, of Irish and international novels, and we're also branching out now into doing picture books in all classes.
You haven't used any e-books yet with them?
No, we haven't. No, not so far.
That might be the next step.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you use the blog for any subjects other than for English and for the novels?
Certainly, when I was using with that 6th class, we used it for pretty much everything. They were able to do history, religion. They were able to do SPHE. I remember we were doing work on smoking and the effects of smoking, and they made their own videos and made their own images and put them up on the blog. So, you know, it's endless, the possibilities that you can use it for.
What kind of video editing did they do, or what kind of video recording did they do?
I showed a couple of apps during the presentation there. So one was called Telegami, which is a free app. You can put in your own background or use one of the template backgrounds that are there, and they create an avatar. And you can actually record your own voice to get the avatar to speak it, or you can type in the words that you want the avatar to speak, and you can save that as a video and put it up on the blog. I also showed another app called In a World Drama, which was able to do one of those like movie trailers that you would see on television based on the novel work that they were doing. So that's the sort of video content that we were able to create.
You're also known, Damien, as the owner and developer of Seomra Ranga.
Yeah.
How's that going at the moment?
It's pretty busy, yeah. I could nearly do it as a full-time job. But it's going really, really well. The site has just been redeveloped over the summer, and it needed it. It hadn't been changed since 2010. The big change, I suppose, is that due to the popularity of it, it had to become a membership platform, which is, in one way, is unfortunate. But I think people understand, you know, that there are costs involved. It's a bit of a double-edged sword because it became so popular. More and more people using it. I had to purchase more and more bandwidth to cope with the traffic into it. So, and that cost more money. So the costs were rising. And it was still free to everybody except me. So unfortunately, we had to make the decision to make it a membership model. But there's a lot of people have joined up and they've got a lot of support for it.
And that's a paid membership?
Yes, it
is. And how much is the subscription?
The subscription, individual subscription is €40 per year, which works out about 77 cents a week, which isn't a huge amount, I hope. And there are also school packages available.
I mean, it is an amazing amount of resource. I mean, the last time, I haven't looked in for a while, but the last time I looked in, I mean, even things like, you know, going back to the old Delavini for the Irish and everything, it's incredible.
Yeah, they're all still there, and there's some free content still on the site, and obviously they're all free because a lot of those were donated to me by schools. There's a lot of Irish content there. There's probably about, over 4,000 resources on it available across all curricular areas.
And the resource Damien Quinn was talking about just now is the website he developed, seomraranga.com. Damien presented a workshop at last month's annual conference of the Literacy Association of Ireland. Finally for this week, Anne Burke from Memorial University of Newfoundland, Canada, gave a workshop on the topic of literature as a vehicle to teach social justice. When I spoke to Anne Burke, I first asked her what her main message was to those who attended the workshop.
I was actually talking about the use of social justice picture books in Canadian classrooms in a study that's ongoing across Canada with 7 universities where teachers are actually engaging in teaching social justice through the form of children's picture books.
And what kind of books are used to promote social justice?
A lot of the books are very theme-based. So a lot of them are about bullying, mental health, migration, immigration. So all of these books are touching on curriculum areas that are being taught in Canadian schools as well. They're very much books that are about marginalization, trying to raise awareness of how we can actually make a change in our communities as well as globally. The idea is that children are introduced to subject content matter in that form, and then larger discussions take place after.
And are these books that are written specially to promote issues of social justice, or are they books that were just written and are being used in that way by educators?
Right now, if you look at Canadian and North American children's publishing companies, a lot of them are very driven by this new genre, I'll call it a new genre, of social justice books. So in particular this year, there was a vast number of books that came out about LGBTQ, family issues, diversity, as well as books about poverty, as well as with the Canadian Initiative to bring in more immigrants into Canada. We have a lot more books based on immigration that have come out as well.
So you've conducted research in this area.
We work with pre-service teachers and teachers across Canada. They are working in teacher inquiry groups where they actually read children's literature that is associated with social justice. And we read, you know, academic articles and have larger conversations. And what our goal is to develop a pedagogy, a teaching practice that allows for teachers to kind of rise above or to be able to get past that discomfort that comes with teaching subject content that can be quite challenging. Not just in what you're teaching, but also in taking into consideration your audience being young children.
So can you give an example of any pedagogical practices that you've seen as part of your research?
There's been a number of things across Canada that have been used. I shared a number of them today where teachers are using arts-based pedagogies to have children sort of explore different topic areas, like for instance around poverty. You know, we showed a couple of picture books today, a multi-text set, and they created like story sacks. So, you know, based on the main themes or, you know, issues within the book, then they had children who were asked to go home and find objects and bring them back to create the story itself, but talking through objects that were identified with children's homes. So what made that really interesting is that with a very diverse school in which it actually took place, we found that children came with different perspectives, and there's a lot of sharing about what common types of food are used or what are religious practices are going on or how family celebrations take place. So that's one way in which we're seeing that pedagogy is sort of bridging that home to school together.
And are there particular books that you've seen being used that work particularly well in this area?
Absolutely. I would recommend the Canadian Children's Library Association in Canada. They have a website, and on that website, they have quite a few collections that they've put together. Now, what's really interesting about those collections is they draw from teachers from across Canada and different universities. People are teaching in children's literature to bring those lists together. So that's one place. But I mean, I find that the focus of this study is to have teachers pick books that are very relevant to their school population or the place in which they're living, or just the general interest of the children. And often what the end goal is to see schools really take agency, or for children to take agency. For instance, a very good example would be the anti-bullying campaign that is going on right now across Canada and in North America. The particular focus in Newfoundland has been having children to read a number of books about bullying and create public service announcement videos through Animoto, which is a platform, and they play them on their school website. So parents can actually go in and have a look and see if these digital pieces being played. And a lot of them are not just about, you know, anti-bullying, but they're about circumstances, about different roles that people play, as well as ways in which anti-bullying affects people's mental health, suicide. You know, what's really exciting about that project is that we've come together with DCU's Anti-Bullying Center, and right now we're looking at different pedagogical practices.
And are these books that would have literary merit in and of themselves, in addition to, or, you know, as opposed to the specific social justice message in the books?
Absolutely. The reason why these books are used is because they've gone through a very strict review. Okay, so they've been reviewed for many different levels, for the plot, for the character, for, you know, the themes themselves, as well as, you know, for in ways that they can be used in other ways for instruction as well.
So as well as being, say, springboards for conversations in the classroom, are they the kind of books that children would just pick up themselves and read and for enjoyment?
They can, yes. I mean, they're not all, like, you know, I mean, often that's one of the things that teachers sort of concern themselves with, as, you know, as an educator yourself, is that we want children's literature to be joyful as well. But yes, a lot of, you know, if they want to find out more information, then they often will pick them up in the classroom and have a look at them.
And if you were to pick one book that you particularly enjoyed yourself, or that you found is really good in this area, what would it be?
Oh, wow. I think one of the ones, the most popular one that's being used right now in Canada, would be Patricia Polacco's Bully. It's more for year 5 and year 6.
Which looks at age group?
I guess that would be probably ages 10 through 13. It looks at cyberbullying. So that's one that is being used, because right now we have a lot of different laws that are just being implemented and that are coming into being, which are about protection of children, basically, on the internet.
And that interview with Anne Burke from Memorial University of Newfoundland brings this week's Inside Education to a close. To download over 300 Inside Education podcasts, go to seandelaney.com and click on the podcasts tab. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.